Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporty Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Bucati. Not in my basement this time. There's no bookshelf behind me with books that I pretend to read. This time I have Matt Beisler behind me because I'm at the radio station in my office. And yes, this is what I have. I have a life-size cutout of Matt Beisler in my office. That's just kind of the way things operate here. As always, I want to welcome in Carter Augustine and Allie Trost to the proceedings. Carter is in front of a lamp at the Disney Wide World of Sports complex. How are you, Carter? What's going on, man?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm trying not to be too backlit, but at the same time, you know, give you a sense of the surroundings here. So if you're watching through the whole video, I'm sure you'll see me fudging with this stuff. I might have to get a light in here and make this official sometime, but doing well. How are you guys?
Good. And we got Allie Trost in her fancy new hipster midtown apartment, you know?
My downtown digs on this very cloudy Kansas City day, but doing well, just enjoying all of the soccer, going, you know, way past my bedtime to stay up and watch some of these later games, but no complaints here.
Past your bedtime and then up early again to watch morning soccer too, which I'm not complaining about.
I'm an early riser. It's more of like, yeah, once it hits about like 10:30, I'm starting to doze off. So some of those later games have been tough, but grinding through it.
Yeah, it's somebody's got to do it, right? Well, the grind for me has been just trying to get back on the positivity side of things, because that was a gut punch on Sunday night for all of us. And we're going to talk about that on the show today. In fact, I'll just go ahead and lay out the menu for you. First of all, want to remind you that Sporting Kansas City coverage on Sports Radio 810 WHB is presented by our friends at Michelob Ultra. Find your fit, the Sporting KC show's title sponsor. So thank you to Michelob Ultra. As coming up on the show today, we're going to have backup goalkeeper Richard Sanchez as our guest. A long-form sit-down interview with him because, hey, he's going to be starting on Friday against the Colorado Rapids, and we haven't really had a chance to get to know him at all yet. He's relatively new to the club, and obviously we have only got to watch him for a few minutes in what was a pretty disastrous end to a game on Sunday. So we're going to help you get to know Richard Sanchez a little bit. He's coming up on the show. We're going to recap what happened in that heartbreaking 2-1 loss against Minnesota United, and we'll preview a big, big match on Friday night at 7 o'clock against the Colorado Rapids as well. So let's start there, guys. I was driving home from Children's Mercy Park after the game on Sunday night because, of course, Jacob Peterson and I did the pregame show on Fox Sports Kansas City there, called the game from the stadium, and then I'm driving home, and I was just in a rotten mood after that one. And I remember at one point laughing to myself because I was thinking, this is what I've waited 4 months for, to torture myself like this again, to feel this kind of pain. This is what I've been longing for and missing so much. What is wrong with me? But that is kind of what we miss about sports, is the highs and lows, the emotional attachment that we have to things. And unfortunately, there were highs and lows for Sporting on Sunday night. And I'll start with the highs, Carter. The positive is, I don't know that a team in the entire league has looked better than Sporting Kansas City did for the first 60 minutes of that game. You were on the grounds there in Orlando. What did you make of let's start with that positive part, the performance of Sporting Kansas City through the first hour plus of that game?
Yeah, I mean, I thought after the first 10 minutes where both teams really were trying to get into the game, Sporting after that dominated the rest of the first half and the first 15 of the second half, and they were zipping it around a little bit, looking like a little bit like in-season form. The biggest positive for me was Alan Pulido. I mean, I think he's we've heard it from Peter Vermes. I think he's exceeded the very high expectations that everyone in Kansas City had for him. That move to set up the goal, I've been watching it on a loop. I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to print off that GIF and frame it and just so I can always look at it. I mean, just incredible. And I got to think the two center backs are happy to not have to deal with him again for the foreseeable future, unless they meet up in the knockout round.
Yeah, Carter, Nate, I would agree, guys. I think Alan Pulido was by and far the best player on the field and looked like he hadn't missed a beat, if we're being honest. As far as, you know, all the positives to build on, a lot of the other players looked great too. It was just in that finishing touch, and Taylor Twellman brought it up on the broadcast. Sometimes getting into, you know, full game form, that's like the last piece of the puzzle that comes together. And I think that was really all that Sporting Kansas City was missing. A lot of the buildup looked phenomenal. I mean, Jurso made some incredible runs. Gadi Kinda was everywhere. It was just a matter of getting that finishing touch, that final, you know, piece of the puzzle to get to find the back of the net. And I really do think that while that result was disappointing, it's not going to be indicative of how Sporting does for the rest of the tournament. I think coming into this game against Colorado with, you know, a lot of pent-up anger and disappointment from that game is going to see maybe some early goals and not the same mistakes made that we saw on Saturday or on Sunday night.
All right, so while we're loving up Alan Pulido, I wanted to read a tweet from our good friend Connell McCourt, who
this was amazing
on, on the final whistle post-game show. Look, when you got a guy with a great Irish accent, sometimes you can just let him read the phone book and it's entertaining sometimes. But then this turn of phrase with the, I don't know, have you seen this tweet, Carter?
Yeah, you sent it to me. Beautiful.
He said, and I can't try to replicate Connell's Northern Ireland accent, but you can hear him on the final whistle post game show and other Sporting Kansas City coverage. He said, horrible error from the goalkeeper, but are we not going to just pretend that Alan Pulido didn't just send Michael Boxall to the shop for 20 cigarettes and a 2 liter of milk in the build up to that goal?
That's the only way. That's the only way to describe what happened. Like, I don't want to hear any other breakdown analysis. Just read that tweet.
Am I allowed to use that in a play by play call? I don't know if I could even pull it off. But he sent
prime
Michael
analysis
to the shop for 20 cigarettes and a 2 liter of milk. That was the positive side, no doubt about it. Alan Pulido was great. The team form was good.
I want to give credit quickly to Kyrie Shelton as well for the finish, because everyone is lambasting Tyler Miller for the goalkeeping, and rightfully so. But at the same time, the ability to read the situation so quickly and to hit it, to slot it right into the corner there, that's such a quick reaction that Kyrie Shelton had. And so I think that's a really good finish from him.
Well, and Carter, it also goes in to just the confidence we've seen build from 2018 Kyrie Shelton to 2020. Oftentimes in 2018, he almost seemed snake bitten in front of net, where he was in between decisions, was never maybe looking at taking the shot as his first option. I think there, Tyler Miller, you can break down why he decided to adjust the way he did and very prematurely, but I almost wonder, was he thinking, oh, Kyrie's going to cross this ball, because that's maybe what, you know, 2018 and in most of Major League Soccer Kyrie Shelton has done. But I think we're going to see a Kyrie Shelton with this 2020 team that's going to take a lot more risks in front of net. And that was just a perfect finish. And it, like you said, Carter, a great read of the situation in real time and very quickly.
I think that's a great point in terms of the scouting report. Tyler Miller probably was gambling there, because even I thought in this preseason, there were a few times where I thought Kyrie deferred and tried to set his teammate up instead of having a shot when he could have. And so that probably went into it a little bit, Tyler Miller making that mistake. But I think you're also, if that's true, look, Kyrie knows that's a tough angle where he's coming from. So, and he knows he's got a teammate coming down the field. So it's very possible that his first instinct in that situation was, I'm going to put this ball across and set up my teammate. When he glances up and sees the goalkeeper darting away from his near post, to make that adjustment, like Carter said, to change what your first, to go with your second choice, or to change what you're doing at full speed when you've been running for 30 yards with the ball at your foot, and to not just change your decision but execute it perfectly, it looks a lot easier than it is. Anybody that's ever been in that situation, even in the old man 30 league, can tell you that to have that composure and ability, that was a good finish. And you're right to bring that up, Carter, that Kyrie Shelton deserves more credit than he's getting for the way that he put that away.
100%. It looks easy that he's slotting it in there. But like you said, just the ability on the fly to change. I mean, I thought like Tyler Miller, he was going to square it the entire time. and making my debut as a game photographer, I completely messed that up because I was waiting on the penalty spot for whoever was crashing in. So I was fooled just like Tyler Miller. And Allie, that's a wonderful point about the confidence. Talking to Kyrie, his stint in Germany obviously didn't go as planned with the injury, and as a result, didn't get as much playing time as he would have liked. But one thing he said was he got so much technically better over there. And I really do think that we're seeing that so far in 2020.
I was going to say as well, I mean, that goal aside, I felt like his touch on the ball throughout the entire game looked a lot stronger. And, you know, I think there were a few times in 2018 that I can think back on where Kyrie was, you know, within striking distance, he's right in front of the net, and maybe the ball got away from him a couple of times. He got the ball really close, I think, in a lot of situations in that game, whether it was to lay it off to Alan Pulido or to, you know, set up a pass or set up a cross. He just seemed to have complete control over the ball, not just physically, you know, and we've seen him be a great physical player, but tactically as well. And then the combination of those two things, I think really lent well for Sporting Kansas City in those first 60 minutes when they looked their best.
And so that's what went well, but we also know what they did wrong for Sporting KC. They didn't finish their chances. The game, they had a chance to really put Minnesota United away in the first half of that game and in the first 15 minutes of the second half, and they didn't do it. They left them around. Once Minnesota United got confidence, and then once they got the red card, Sporting Kansas City did not shift into a different mindset well enough of managing the game and killing it off, and they paid the price for it. Now we look into what that does to this team because, look, we've all been waiting for 4 months. Sam Mellinger was on the morning show with us on Monday, and I thought he brought up a really good point. Losing a game like that hurts if it's in the middle of July in a regular season as just one out of 34 games. That game's going to sting when you dominate a game and you give up two goals in stoppage time to lose. When you do it after a four-month layoff, when you've been, you know, doing all this work to try to get back out on the field and you've gone all the way down to Orlando and it's the first game of a competition, it stings that much more. So I want to ask you, Carter, because you're down there with the team, they can't let this one sit around and affect the way they go about things this week in a negative way. Maybe they can use it as motivation, but they got to jump right back because they've got a game in just a few nights that they have to get a result out of now against the Colorado Rapids. Have you gotten any sense for, you know, how the team has responded so far and how they are going to respond going forward from what was such a gut punch?
Yeah, I think if you think about it coming in, it's probably one of the worst, you know, ways to start off, right? Not just that you lost, but you played so well and you just get a huge gut punch. And Peter Vermees, I talked to him after the game, and, you know, he said, you know, that's soccer. Oftentimes it isn't fair. And actually, we have two people that have been serving us most of our lunches and breakfast and dinner down here. And they're turned into big Sporting fans because the guys and the staff are obviously, I think they're just excellent people. They treat them so well. So we've turned them into Sporting fans from Orlando fans. And so we've converted them. So that's a good start. But I thought it was actually very poignant. He said the exact same thing as Peter, that soccer isn't always fair. But he also pointed out that's why we love it, right? Like, mm-hmm. The goals matter so much. And I always laugh when people say, oh, it's so low scoring, this, that, and the third. You don't understand how much a goal means if you have that mindset. So the result wasn't fair. But as far as I can tell, training today, the intensity was incredible. Guys were flying around. I think, as Allie pointed out earlier, this is a chance – for them to come in like a swarm of bees and just be really angry and use that to motivate them going into the game on Friday.
Yeah, no, I think when you look at the negatives from the game, it all happened over a short stint of time, and there have been questions, you know, is this here we go again from 2019, where a lot of late game mental lapses did result in dropping points, whether it was a loss or a tie when the team was ahead or you know, in a tied situation. But as Peter pointed out in the press conference, he's not worried. He doesn't think that way. This team is so talented. They have all of the pieces. I mean, really, if you look at what the problems were in 2019 with injuries and then just a constant rotation in certain positions, not being able to find that, you know, that starting, that whatever worked, you know, what chemistry was working up top. There was just always this rotation and injuries didn't help that. But they do have everything that they need. And I really think, you know, like I mentioned earlier, having all of that pent up anger and you're in the bubble, all you have to focus on is soccer right now. All you have to focus on is the game ahead. And, you know, they're going to be up against a Colorado team though, that also dropped points and also, you know, suffered a loss. So I think both sides are going to come out and it's going to make for a really exciting game.
Well, one thing we know for sure is don't get interviewed during the game if you're a coach, because it seems like that's when your team concedes a goal. That happened to Colorado. It happened last night again, although that one got ruled off for offside. So we'll just keep Peter Vermees off the microphone for now.
Yes.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Richard Sanchez is going to join us on the show. It's his job on Friday night because Tim Melia is suspended for this game. So we're going to get a chance to get to know Richard Sanchez. That's right ahead on the Sporting Kansas City show. And the Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. Wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you stream your video, we appreciate you joining us as we are off and running at the MLS's back tournament. And we have a special guest joining us now on the show, goalkeeper Richard Sanchez, who made his Sporting KC debut this past weekend and now makes his Sporting KC show debut as well. Richard, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, we are excited to get to know you a little bit. I'll confess that myself and Allie have not really had a chance to spend any time around you and getting to know you, but Carter's already, when I suggested, hey, we should have Richard on the show, he said, fascinating guy, really interesting guy. This is going to be a fun conversation. So I'm excited. What do you make of Carter's assessment, by the way, that you're a fascinating guy?
Yeah, he's
so what I'm going to start it open-ended then. What is the most interesting thing about you?
Interesting thing about me? Man, that's a good question. I would say maybe that I like Mediterranean food. Maybe not a lot of people would guess that. Maybe they would assume probably it's Mexican food, but I'm very tuned in with the, for some reason, I don't know why, but the Arabic culture and just all that stuff. Yeah, maybe that's probably one of the more interesting things.
Can you take us back, Richard, to kind of what got you into soccer growing up?
I definitely
want to get into how you went over to Spain.
Yeah, no, it was my dad was the one who got me into soccer. He played just in like the Sunday leagues out in California. And he pretty much had a soccer ball at my feet ever since I started walking. I would just kick it. And then he would take me to his games. He would put me in behind goal actually. And I would just kind of watch him do his thing. He started off as a defender, as a center back, but then he kind of hurt his knee and hopped in goal. And then would just take me to his games and I would watch him.
So did your dad, like, did you have a team that you rooted for? Did you watch a lot of soccer with your dad as a kid as well?
No, to be honest, I didn't have a team growing up. I would say Cruz Azul just because my dad is a big Cruz Azul fan. But I changed allegiance right around, I was probably 5-6 years old, where I was like, no, I want to go for Chivas. And my dad was kind of sad about that. But I can't really say that I had a team growing up that I would watch. And soccer, I wouldn't really watch it a lot. He would sit down and watch games on a Saturday or a Sunday, and there would be times where I would sit down with him. But I was more of a guy that would like to be outside in the backyard just kicking the ball, really.
So one of the big questions that we've had for everybody down in Orlando is how have you been staying entertained, especially in your first year with this new team, trying to find ways to stay occupied while not playing soccer in the bubble?
Yeah, I mean, when all this started, obviously it was difficult on all of us. I think we were all trying to figure out ways to kind of keep the mind busy. And one of the things that I honed in on was just try to stay away from, you know, the negative energies, you know, with all that, you know, maybe could be coming from social media and things like that. So I would use meditation kind of to cope during these times, or I would read books just to kind of keep my mind busy. And then I actually started some classes online through SNHU. So that's been keeping me busy. And then, you know, obviously just talking to my family, talking to my fiance, you know, even with the teammates here, we have a group chat. So we just send funny videos, funny pictures on there, send some banter. So, yeah.
Well, what you've been studying, I think that's the obvious follow-up there.
So I went into finance, the finance field. So yeah, we're gonna go and hope for the best on that.
We're visiting with Richard Sanchez. So are you a math whiz then? Like, is that what comes most natural to you?
Tim would probably argue that I don't know how to count. there's signs in the repetitions where I don't count right. But yeah, I mean, in school, like high school, elementary, math was really kind of the subject that I was more interested in for whatever odd reason. And then it's mainly the reason why I wanted to take financial classes was just to have, you know, a little bit of financial literacy and, you know, have that under my belt to be able to, you know, kind of manage my finances after, you know, this is all over, after soccer is done. I know that this is obviously not going to last for a lifetime, even though I wish it would. So just kind of preparing myself for life after soccer.
You bring up Tim Melia. What's it been like working with him? And what was his message to you in a very unusual turn of events in that game against Minnesota where he gets the red card and then you're coming in? What did he say to you before your debut with Sporting KC?
Yeah, no, it was a bit unfortunate how, you know, that all panned out. But I didn't get to speak with him once he got sent off. So I just went in the game, you know, played it. And then after the game, he just spoke with me and said, hey, you know, obviously you have this opportunity coming up. Just take advantage of it. Do your thing and everything will be well. So it's been great having somebody like Tim, obviously. A great goalkeeper and you know has performed on a consistent basis throughout, you know, a lot of years. So just being with him, training with him, I get to see the qualities that he has and maybe you know, put some of those qualities into my game so that I can be better as well.
I want to continue on your debut here in just a second, but I just want to backtrack real quick because I'm not sure a lot of Sporting fans know a lot about your background, and I think it's really fascinating to me that you went to Spain as a young man to play for in the Atletico Madrid Academy. How did that come about? And I mean, moving to a different continent at such a young age, what was that like?
It was a great experience, just because I got to move out of the house at 13 years old and experience a different culture, getting to know different people and different cultures within Spain, and that all started with, I actually got a call up with the Mexican national team U13s, U14s, to play a tournament in Spain, and I was able to participate, played a couple of games there, and I caught the attention of an agent out there, a Spanish agent, and he offered me the possibility to go out to Atletico Madrid at 13 years old. And I went for it. It wasn't easy, to be honest, at first it was very, very hard just because I was going to be leaving my family. I was going to be leaving home at such a young age. It was a great, great experience being out there.
Did you rub shoulders with anyone famous in Spanish soccer while you're over there?
Yeah, I actually got to play with Saúl Ñíguez, He's a number eight for Atletico Madrid, and then also with the Spanish national team. Oliver Torres as well. And yeah, those are kind of the guys that I rubbed shoulders with during my time there.
Once again, we've got Richard Sanchez, goalkeeper for Sporting Kansas City, on the show here. And man, I want to ask about all these experiences, because I just feel like I try to put myself in the mind of where I was in life at 13 years old. And yeah, I think I wanted to get out of the house, but I think that had you then all of a sudden said, okay, now you're going to move halfway across the planet out of the house and kind of be on your own, I think I might've, that might've been a little daunting to me. But I also want to ask you about the concept of playing for the Mexican youth national team as a Mexican American. What was that like? And were, if you are in that situation, how were you received by your Mexican teammates? I'm just curious what that experience was like for you.
Yeah. At first, well, I'll start off by saying that I always wanted to represent Mexico. So for me, this was a dream come true. I actually got inspired by Osvaldo Sanchez during, I think it was the 2002 World Cup. If I'm not mistaken, it was in Korea. Yeah, so I was inspired by him. I wanted to represent Mexico. I got that chance. And then, you know, when I went over there, I was received with open arms. You know, everybody was warm. They welcomed me, you know, very well when I was there. But there's always those two identities that you have, you know, because it's like you go to Mexico and it's like, oh, here comes the American. You're more American than you are Mexican. Or if I'm over here in the States, it's like, no, you're not American. You're Mexican. So it's like, you know, those two identities that
yeah.
You have. I would honestly say that I'm fortunate and blessed to have, you know, such an identity like that, just because I have, you know, two great opportunities, two great countries to be a part of. Just to kind of answer your question, I was actually welcomed really well over in Mexico when I first started out there.
Richard, how did that shape your experience then playing in Major League Soccer? What are, I guess, the stark differences between the two, and how did it maybe best prepare you for your experience in this league?
It was you get to play with quality players, really, and just learn from the best. You know, obviously be at a competitive mindset day in and day out. You know, just having those experiences helped me to mature and grow a lot and just learn.
So I think that's, I mean, Saul, you mentioned him, one of the best midfielders in the world right now, you'd have to argue. I hear you have a pretty good Lionel Messi story as well.
Yeah, so it was actually during one of the tournaments, one of the first couple of months that I was out in Spain. We had a tournament out in Barcelona, and it was actually another colleague of mine that went with me to Spain to play a left back. And we were in the Barcelona airport, just waiting for our flight to go back to Madrid after our camp with the national team. And then, you know, we're going about our business. And then before I know it, I just see a large group of people just walking across the security line. And I'm just like, who are these people? And then I just start seeing the likes of Piqué, the likes of Puyol, I believe Thierry Henry was there as well. And I'm just like, oh, wait, that's Barcelona. You know, I was starstruck. I couldn't believe it. My friend noticed as well. We saw Messi actually walking kind of towards us, I guess, just to go to his gate. And he asked me for a picture. And I was like, no, I'm just kidding.
Like, what?
Yes.
My friend approached him to take a picture with him. And he was friendly enough to accept, you know, the picture. And so, of course, you know, my friend gives me the phone to take the picture. And then I take it. And just off Messi goes. I actually did not get to take a picture with Messi. I guess I was just that starstruck that I was too nervous to actually ask him for a picture. But I got to take a picture of him, so that was good.
You're the cameraman. Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Once again, we're visiting with Richard Sanchez. One of the things Carter was telling us on the broadcast when you came into the game is that said you struck up a pretty good friendship with Alan Pulido since he joined the team. And I think a lot of us are really in Kansas City hoping to get to know him a little bit better. He hasn't been doing a whole lot of interviews in English yet. So what can you tell us about Alan? You got any good little, stories about him? I mean, we've been phenomenally impressed by his play on the field, which isn't a surprise, but what can you tell about Alan that maybe we don't know?
No, I think he portrays himself really well. He's a very humble person, hardworking, and just a fun guy to be around. He's cracking jokes all the time, not just with me, but with the rest of the guys as well. Obviously, with me being Mexican, there's that sort of connection to, mainly, at least for me, it was kind of just making him feel, at home here in the States, getting him used to kind of the things the way that I run here in the States, getting him used to kind of like the culture and what goes on. So just being around him has been pretty cool, just because, you obviously see the accolades that he's had, where he's gone to play national team and over in Greece. And so having somebody like him around is pretty awesome. I actually crossed paths with him in Tigres for a short bit. This was when he was making the move up from Tigres to Greece. We crossed paths a little bit there, but didn't get to spend too much time with him because it was a pretty fast move for him. But then obviously now here with Kansas City, we share a locker room and it's been great.
So how has his English been progressing? Does he rely on you for help to crack those jokes within the locker room and with the team, or is his English progressing pretty well?
No, it's progressed. He actually came here already knowing some sort of English. So he was very well prepared in that aspect. But yeah, he'll ask me like, hey, I want to crack this joke. How can I go about it? But it's just, the direct translation sometimes just doesn't work. Right. But he tries to make the jokes as much as he possibly can. And then every time Peter wants to have a talk with us in the group, I'm there translating, making sure that he's understanding everything that Peter's asking of the team and maybe what Peter's asking of him personally. And so, kind of just helping him so that he's feeling welcome here and fits within the team.
I think that says a lot about you that you're new to Kansas City as well, and you're going out on a limb to make sure he feels welcome. How have you gotten to know Kansas City over, obviously 2020, very strange year for a lot of different reasons, but how have you taken to the new city that you're in?
Yeah, it's been great, my experience here. The first thing that I actually did coming into Kansas City was trying out the barbecue. So I got that out of the way, and let me say it's been a great barbecue that I've had out in Kansas City. But as you said, it's been a bit of a strange year, so I haven't really been able to explore Kansas City much. But I've walked downtown, walked around the crossroads, even the the World War II park there that they have, is that correct?
World War One, yeah.
Yeah, World War One, sorry. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very, very nice place around there. So yeah, I'm hoping to get to know Kansas City more, after all this is over. But one thing that I will say is that the people here have been very welcoming, very warm, and I'm very appreciative of the people here.
Hey, Richard, before we move on to this game coming up on Friday, one of the things you talked about earlier kind of piqued my interest when it comes to the context of what's happening right now with the social justice movement that we're seeing the MLS players really take an active role in. And I'll preface this with this question. My best friend in the whole world is an immigrant who's from Chihuahua, Mexico, but grown up in the United States and is an American citizen now. And some of the sentiments that you shared are things I've heard from him a lot in his life about that I'm proud of both being a Mexican and being American. I know that the last few years have been very tough on him because of some of the climate that's in this country right now. And I also know that this movement, even though the term is Black Lives Matter, he feels a very personal connection to that because in some ways he feels like his life has been marginalized a little bit. And that's a very emotional thing for him. So I'm curious for you, when you've watched what's happened in the league with what you guys are doing with the names and things that you're able to write across the bottom of your jersey, do you have any particular thoughts that you'd like to share or does this have any specific personal connection and meaning for you and what you've been, what you've experienced in your life?
Yeah, I think it's great. The initiative that, is going on with the league here, you know, obviously bringing up a conversation that most people aren't comfortable with. And I think that these are the kind of conversations that we need to have. And, you know, even me as a Mexican American, you know, just within the Black community alone, I've come to learn a lot during these times. You know, having conversations with some of the Black people or the Black teammates that we have here, some of my friends that I've had in the past years, getting to know, you know, obviously kind of their experiences and you know what personally I can do to be better, to you know try to help and things like that. So I think this whole movement and what's happening is great, just because, like I said, it opens up to conversations that many people aren't comfortable having. For me personally, I can't say that I've experienced anything too brutal. I think my parents have actually kind of protected my brother and me from the bad things in life, so to speak. So I know that maybe in their lifetime or during their younger years, they've experienced things. But you know, just with all this movement and the way that things are going on right now with the racial aspect of life, you know, we're all human beings and we all bleed red. And so it's just, you know, let's be one. You know, there's hate is not gonna be the answer to growing, and let's just, you know, love each other and help each other and help each other grow. So that's kind of my two cents on that.
Richard, one more follow-up on that. In what ways have you seen the response from Sporting Kansas City in particular unite the locker room? We've heard Kyrie Shelton and manager Peter Vermees talk about a lot of conversations that have happened within the team, and maybe like Nate and you have mentioned some real conversations that have needed to happen. How have you seen that take this group to a level even closer than maybe when you all started with the team in preseason?
I think with the conversations that we had just with, you know, T, Jersel, Kyrie, Eric, you know, and a couple of the other guys, they were able to share their experiences with us. Some that perhaps maybe I was, you know, not necessarily aware of just because, you know, that's coming from them, but I more or less knew that these were the kind of experiences that they were going through. But once you see that, you know, the person right next to you is experiencing those things, it's just like, wow, you know, it's just like, you know, you just want to be, I mean, at least for me, it was like, I wanted to be a better person, however I could, you know, if it was in public, you know, somebody saying, you know, a racial slur, standing up for the person and saying, hey, that's not right, you know, you can't do that. So obviously just hearing their experiences, listening to them, was very impactful, and was able to learn actually in that regard.
Well, difficult transition, but we need to talk a little bit about the soccer that's going on here, and you guys course played so well for especially the first hour against Minnesota United, but came up on the wrong end of the score sheet. What was kind of the feeling after that game?
Yeah, we were devastated. We felt like we were very well prepared for this match. You know, we felt physically, mentally, you know, everything, we felt good. it was just frustrating to leave the field with that result at the end. But you know, these are great opportunities to learn from and to bounce back even stronger and now just prepare for Friday against Colorado.
And prepare is the key word, because hey, you're going to be in goal on Friday, because you know Tim Melia, we know, is suspended now because of the red card. We referenced earlier that that's a tough spot to get thrown into the way you were. I mean, you walk onto the field and you're facing a free kick before you even have a chance to get yourself into the flow of the game. This time around, you get to practice all week knowing that you're the number one. I'm curious, like, how different does that make this opportunity this week? How much does that help you getting ready for the Rapids on Friday?
Well, you know, as a backup, you know, that I've been in these past couple of months, what I've learned is you always have to be prepared, and you know, because incidents like these can happen. And so for me, I'm just excited at the opportunity. Obviously, it was unfortunate the way that this happened. But now it's just taking advantage of the opportunity to help my team to win against Colorado in this case, and just making sure that this whole week I'm doing the things well that are needed to be done in order to be as very well prepared as I possibly can be to play in this game.
Richard Jurso Fernandez shared in an interview this week that he and the entire team have nothing but confidence in you going into this next game as the starter. How motivating is it to hear your teammates, your coaches come out in full support vocally, just in a very unusual situation with the change happening the way that it did?
Yeah, it's been great. The support from the guys has been phenomenal. And, you know, it's very telling of the group in general. It's a very united group. And the locker room that I, from the beginning, I felt very welcome. So, I'm very appreciative of the support, and like they support me, I support them. So it's reciprocated, and now it's just a matter of going out there and performing.
One aspect of the game I think a lot of people are going to be paying attention to is you're going from one team that was very good at set pieces to another that is one of the top in the league at set pieces. You as the goalie, that's a big responsibility for you. Are you guys kind of monitoring the set piece situation with Colorado, because they were so good over the past year? And what are some things that you focus on as a goalkeeper trying to defend a team that's so good in those situations?
Yeah. well, these past couple of days, we've just kind of been transitioning from our past game into the week, and so we haven't really gone over, you know, obviously the tactical part of it. But I did go over some video with Alec Tufte, the goalkeeper coach, we went over kind of the set pieces and, you know, obviously their strength with a couple of the players there. They have that sort of advantage, but it's just about having confidence in ourselves, making sure that we're alert and having a big presence in the back whenever those situations do come about. And obviously with my communication and my leadership in the back is going to be important to making sure that we do get the job done and that we do feel secure in the back. So yeah, just prepare for the match now.
All right, finally, Richard, saving the most important for last, the standalone mustache. There is some power behind that thing. I mean, you are rocking that thing incredibly well. That was the thing we saw right when you walked out onto the field. And that, to me, that projects confidence, that projects, just belief and a presence. So are we still going to see the standalone mustache on Friday? And maybe what kind of confidence does it give you, and just maybe any thoughts you have on it whatsoever?
Yeah, the mustache decides to fly and slap itself on my face a couple of times here and there.
Wait, so was this a quarantine decision, or was this like, has this always been your look?
No, it's crazy enough. It was last year, really. I was kind of just cleaning up, trimming my beard, playing with it. And then I just look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go for the mustache. Why not?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just ever since I kind of just kept it, maybe grew out the beard or maybe trimmed it, maybe, you know, kind of left it low. But during this quarantine, obviously just trying to have fun with myself, and my face, I, you know, kind of just went for the mustache and kept it. I said, why not? Let's just keep it. So for this match, yeah, I'll keep the mustache. Just a different look that I like to have.
You're rocking it. Yeah.
I have one last thought on this because I've learned my boyfriend started growing out his beard, and there's all of these like different grooming techniques and things that go into. I mean, there's oils, there's a little like, do you have like this just array of, you know, mustache and beard grooming? Like, is there a lot that goes into it, or do you just kind of let it go?
No, I just let it go, let it flow. I don't have any of the oils.
Nothing fancy.
No,
I need any help.
I was thinking.
I think my boyfriend got swindled then into buying things that he didn't need.
Some people need it. Some people need the help. But Richard's is, I'm telling you, that thing. And which also, don't you think we could get Carter to rock something like that? I mean, look at this.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not next to Richard, man. That's I can't live up to that. Looking like
Carter, that's your
the Dolly. Yeah.
Yes.
Carter, yes. That's your bubble project for the next couple of weeks is to get the next week we expect to see your first iteration of that right here on the Sporting Show.
Here, I can't live up to this guy, so I'm gonna
Richard, stick with me on this. Because everybody's got their own thing going. You know, like I grew a mustache out like in 2013 for Movember, and I look like the creepy gym teacher with my mustache. I feel like Carter's got the chance to look like a 1915 era bare knuckle boxer, with the curled up mustache. It's there. Don't you think the potential's there for something special?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
come on.
Like I said, I like to just kind of change things up, but I do like the look. I do like the mustache, so I will be keeping it for.
Thank you. Thank you. It.
I actually do have one last question. It's the same one I asked her. So, your favorite Disney character or movie since we're down here in Orlando?
Mickey Mouse has actually been my favorite character, but it was funny because back in California when we went to Disneyland for the first time, my parents obviously took me out there and they were kind of excited to introduce me to Mickey. And I see this big mouse and I'm just afraid of it. I want nothing to do with the guy. I start crying. My parents try to get a picture of me with Mickey Mouse. But I just wasn't having it because I was expecting something small, you know. I was expecting something big. So the friendliest person or the friendliest character around to kind of the scariest person around. So, but yeah, Mickey Mouse was the character that I like.
So the enormous hey, sometimes those mascot outfits can be a little intimidating. There's no doubt about it. Hey, Richard, we really appreciate the time. Thanks a lot for letting us get to know you a little bit better. Thanks for rocking the mustache for us. You know, you have our full support when it comes to that. And I hope we get the chance to talk to you again soon. And by the way, I do want you to know that we have chicken kebabs with tzatziki sauce on the menu this week at my house. We're very big Mediterranean fans as well. So,
and my Mediterranean salad is waiting for me this afternoon. This is in honor of Richard.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Rich, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. It was fun. It was a pleasure. And I look forward to the next one.
Yeah, and good luck on Friday night. That is Richard Sanchez, goalkeeper for Sporting Kansas City. He'll be in goal on Friday night as Sporting take on the Colorado Rapids, which you can listen to right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back to wrap things up on this edition of the SKC Show right after this. All right, back to wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show presented by Michelob Ultra. Our thanks to Richard Sanchez for joining us. Carter, you're right. Interesting guy. He's got, he's had a lot of experiences already in his life. And Sporting Kansas City, you're going to need him to step up big time in this game against the Colorado Rapids on Friday night.
Yeah, they are. Obviously, it looked like he was a little cold when he came into the game against Minnesota. So Sporting's going to need him to step up. And it's interesting to me because you always hear, you know, goalkeepers are a different breed, different mentality. A lot of times they're crazy. But Richard is – it's been a pleasure to talk to him over the past few months because, that, as you just saw, he's a pretty interesting guy. And like you said, he's had some wonderful life experiences, been all over the world. So really good. I really like that talk that we just had with him.
Hey, I just hope that he can finally get on the other side of the camera in a picture with Lionel Messi.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about this game. The Colorado Rapids guys, they played against Real Salt Lake right after Sporting Kansas City did. And I'm not sure which team you'd rather be, the team that's coming off of the heartbreaking loss like Sporting Kansas City or the team that kind of got – I don't know if I want to say they got pounded, but they lost 2-0. And I don't really feel like they look like they were ever the better team in that game. I guess I'd rather be Sporting Kansas City situation where you feel like, hey, we're a good team. We just kind of didn't handle our business at the end of the game. But this Rapids team was everybody's darling. Not everybody. A lot of people really liked this Rapids team, the way they closed out last season under Robin Frazier, the way they started this regular season 2-0. I'll start with you, Carter. What do you make – what do we really know about Robin Frazier's Colorado Rapids team right now?
I think you're right. I think we've started to see over the back end of last year and into the first couple of games, he's really starting to change the team to what he wants. And – I think they press a lot higher than they had before. So, especially in those first two games, they really made it difficult on the opponent by their high pressure. Obviously, Sporting has dealt with high pressure in the past, and when they're zipping it around, they maybe a key to the game will be trying to get in behind if they do press up high, and Sporting has the guys to do that. And then it was interesting talking to Vermees at practice today. He actually brought up he didn't think that they were as bad as a lot of people have been making them out to be in the RSL game. He just thought RSL were much more clinical on the attacking third of the field. And he said actually he thought Frazier's team is looking better and better. So I thought that was fascinating to hear from Vermees. And the other thing for me, so on offense, Sporting, I think we'll try and get in behind. And on defense, it's set pieces for me. And we saw Minnesota really cause some havoc with their good delivery on set pieces. And Colorado has been one of the best teams over the past year and a half or so. I think any team with Kai Kamara is going to be one of the best teams at set pieces. And so they've capitalized on having him on the team, and Sporting's going to have to deal with that.
Not to mention Kai Kamara, Diego Rubio, two players who definitely would love to score a goal against Sporting Kansas City. So that extra motivation will definitely be dangerous, and that'll be something that Richard Sanchez and then the entire defense will have to deal with as well.
One of the things I'm looking forward to seeing is just what kind of rotations will we see with this being five, you know, basically a game every 5 days in the heat and humidity that we saw. You know, Peter Vermees, you know, he did not go to the bench early. Some teams might be doing that. Will there be a rotation of starters? Will there be a rotation in terms of earlier substitutions in this game on either side? Or are both these teams going to look at it and say, man, we got to get a result. You know, we lost our first game. We got to go with our first choice team, no matter how many minutes they played last game. So that's something I'm certainly looking forward to. And Carter, you mentioned Kai Kamara. With Kai and Diego Rubio, we know those guys are both dangerous strikers anyway. And they're playing against their former team. That's always a dangerous combination.
Yeah, Ali just said it. Always a motivating factor for guys going up against their former clubs. So I wonder if they'll have a little bit extra juice. Not that anyone needs it because they both lost the first game. If they want to advance, I'm not sure if I'm going to go and say it's a must win, but it's a definitely you can't lose. You can't lose this game if you want to advance. So. There's a lot on the line in terms of trying to get out of the group. And if it's not a must win, a win definitely puts you like really right back in it. So it's obviously crucially important for both of these teams.
All right, Carter, you got any golf? You guys got any golf outings or anything coming up this week? Just is it just life in the bubble, training and hanging out in the hotel the rest of the way?
Life in the bubble so far, especially I think, you know, in between these two crucial games, I think they're really going to batter down the hatches and really focus during the week.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us, guys. Allie, Carter, thank you guys for the time. Our thanks to Richard Sanchez. Our thanks to Michelob Ultra as our sponsor, and Matt Beisler for being there looking over my shoulder this entire time. We appreciate you watching where you get your video content, listening on the podcast. And, of course, hopefully next week we'll see you coming off of a big win over the Colorado Rapids and getting you ready for that final game of the group stage games against Real Salt Lake. Again, Friday night, 7 o'clock, you can listen to the game right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Myself, Jacob Peterson, and Carter Augustine on the call. Allie Trost with Dave Borchardt and Chad Reynolds on the Final Whistle postgame show. And, of course, an hour leading up to the game from 6 to 7 will be on Fox Sports Kansas City with a television preview of the match as well. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next week on the Sporting Kansas City show.